Heavenly Father, our beloved God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for blessing us with life and health and strength and allowing us to come to this place, Father, to lift up your holy and divine name and praise and worship and that of your Son, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we come to you this day rejoicing, knowing how good you have been to us all, realizing that there are so many things that we could be thankful for this day, Father, that it would just take an eternity for us to confess them all. Father, we ask that you just bless us this day as we go into your word. Father, we pray that as always, we receive your word, Father, realizing that you have given it to us in love, that it might be delivered in love, and Father, that also we might humbly receive it, Father, with ready obedience to do that which is pleasing and acceptable to you. Bless this church family, Father, and help us to continue to strive to grow spiritually, first and foremost, Father, and in doing so, we know that we will grow physically. We just pray that you'll just touch each individual that is here today, Father, and touch them with a very special blessing, Father, that we might step out of this building and let the light of Christ shine before all. This is our prayer in your beloved Son's name. Amen. Good morning. All that are here today with us, we're so thankful that our God has appointed this day for us to give him glory, honor, and praise, and that God is worthy of. We come to you this morning with a continuance on our series of It Is What It Is. And this week, our topic is part three, the church is what it is. Part one, of course, was the word is what it is. Part two was sin is what it is. Now, again, for those who may have just come into this series, we're understanding this phrase, it is what it is, a common term used today, dealing with the absolutes, things that just are what they are. There's no way around it. It is truth. And we're going to be dealing a lot with the subject of truth this morning. We look into the Word of God. 1 Timothy 3:14 and 15. These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly, but if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. As we have made reference to before, as we enter into this auditorium, we know right above the entrance you find this particular scripture. Now, let me say this first and foremost about this particular passage. Just because a building has Christ on it, just because a building claims to be a church, just because a building represents Christ in some religious form, it doesn't matter what name it has on it. It can have any particular name. It can even have the Church of Christ on it. Until you find what is within it, until you find out what it is made of on the inside, it just might not be so. So we must understand that being a church means it must stand on the truth. The word pillar as we see in our display on the wall here, pillars, a post, or figuratively, in this case, a form of support. Ground, again, a support, but figuratively, in this case, a basis. So if we look at these pillars, the top of a pillar is looked upon as that which supports something. The bottom is the base, the foundation, the ground that stabilizes it. So when we speak of the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, in essence, what it is saying is that the church must hold up the truth and stably hold the truth in place, because outside of the church, you cannot find the truth. Outside of the church, there is nowhere. I don't care what institution of academia you find. You will not find the truth at Harvard. You will not find the truth at Yale. You will not find it at Brown or Princeton or Oxford. The truth is found only in the church. Amen. And mind you, we are speaking of a definite article, truth, meaning there is one truth. There cannot be more than one truth. Anyone knows that. Even when you look at this table here, this table is either wood or not. There's not two opinions of what this table is made of. So truth is either truth or not. Amen. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth because, number one, it was built by the truth. In John 14 and 6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes through the Father except through me." I am the way, the truth, Jesus said. In Matthew 16 and 18, and we look at these scriptures over and over and over again, and I believe sometimes even members of the church get tired of hearing this stuff. But what you must understand is this. It ain't about you. It's about Christ. And so when we see these particular passages of scripture, and you heard them all of your life, and you say to yourself, "I know this. Why do you keep going on and on and on about it?" Well, guess what? If we don't go on and on and on about it, then people will easily forget about it. And the truth will be no more at whatever congregation is not teaching it. All right. So we find that Jesus said he was the way, the truth, and the life. And then he says he will build his church. So we now know that the truth built the church. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth because it was built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Now we must understand this, that even though the church is built by Christ, the foundation and what caused the church to grow and causes the church to continuously grow is those prophets that prophesied about the church ahead of time and those apostles that established the church. Now, when Jesus was teaching his disciples, many of them who would become apostles, he said in John 16:12-13, he said, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. So first of all, Jesus was teaching them, but there was only so much that he could teach them and put on them. And so he was preparing them for the Holy Spirit to come. Because he even told them, he said, when I go, I'm going to send him. And then he says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into, look at that term right there, all truth. Hold on to that word right there, all truth. Because first and foremost, I believe that about every church that in any way affiliates itself with Christ speaks some truth. I believe every church that affiliates itself with Christ speaks some truth. I would be wrong to say that some of the things that are said in their pulpits are wrong. Many things that some churches say are right and according to Scripture. But Jesus wanted his church to preach all truth. Now, you know what? A lot of people have a problem with that. They have a problem with that because the first thing people say, well, we don't all agree, but we serve the same God, and that ought to be enough. Well, that's just not what God said. When you find that particular text in Scripture, show it to me. But Jesus did not say that. God the Father does not support that, and God the Spirit will not lead us to that train of thought. So we must understand that as the church, we must speak all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority. Jesus was speaking of the Spirit. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. It reminds me of a text I believe we used last week in 1 Peter 4 and 11, where Jesus said, if any man speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. Meaning that when I'm talking, I should not be speaking based upon my philosophy, which many do, my opinion, as many more do, or some other man's idea, as many do. But what I should speak must be according to the Word of God. And you know what? One thing that people struggle with is this. They struggle with the Word of God. They struggle with the truth, because if you stay in the truth long enough, something is going to be said that you will not like. And that's all of us. If you stay in the Word of God long enough, God's Word just might rub you the wrong way. And so we like to stay in the pretty parts of the Bible. We like to stay in the parts of the Bible that make us feel good. And I'm talking about everybody. It doesn't matter what church you are in, the Lord's church or any other. We like the idea many times. Many of us like the idea of hearing those good things. Let's talk about love. That's right, because God is love. Let's talk about the joy. Yes, that's right. God is joy. He brings us joy. Let us talk about how good God is. That's right. God is good and God blesses us. Let's just talk about those things. But let's not talk about all the other things that matter, because you know what? It just doesn't feel good. Because you know, if you talk about that long enough, people will get uncomfortable. And then my friends won't be my friends anymore. People will look at me at the corner of their eye, and they just will not like me because I follow up behind those people that like to stick to all the word of God. Paul once said, I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. The whole thing, not just what I pick out, but the whole word of God. In Ephesians 19 through 22, now, leading up to these same men that Jesus had taught, now you've got them as apostles. And then here comes Paul. And Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. We have the foundation or the teachings of the apostles, and you know what? Once that foundation is there, you don't need any other foundation. I think one time before we use the illustration of, I remember, and many of you all were here when they poured the foundation for this building. And we came and we held hands and we prayed and we were just rejoicing for the hope that was to come. Now, whenever that cement truck left, guess what? Most likely, and I know for a fact it did, there was extra cement left on that truck. That truck went on. Now, that truck went on and it possibly poured a foundation for something else, something somewhere else. But what was left in that truck stayed with that truck because the foundation here was poured for this, and whatever else was left was not necessary. What am I getting at? The foundation was poured. Nothing else was necessary. When the church was established, the foundation was poured by the apostles and the prophets. Whoever comes afterwards, they're not necessary. They're not needed. I'm not needed. Nobody in here or nobody outside of these walls is needed to be a part of the foundation of the church. It did not say the apostles, the prophets, and the pope. It just said the apostles and the prophets, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built. We should all be being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And how are we built? We should be being built up in the Word of God. We should be being built up in the Word of God. Some of the loudest, most hallelujah shouting people are not built up in the Word of God. And I'm not making a mockery of their level of praise. What I am speaking of is their level of knowledge of God's Word. My grandmother used to always say, empty wagon makes a lot of noise. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth because it distinguishes between truth and error. I was at the hospital to visit Sister Reed the other day and got on the elevator. But what had happened, I and Brother James Gray were standing outside talking, and And a fellow walks up and he says, y'all two must be preachers. And we said, yes, we are. And he talked with us a little bit. And then on the way on to the elevator, I was going back upstairs for something, and James is leaving. The fellow said, well, preacher, what are you preaching? I said, well, I'm the minister of the Church of Christ on the Highway. And, of course, many of you all know whenever those words Church of Christ come out of your mouth, depending on who you were, there's always, especially those who have knowledge of the Church of Christ, there's a moment of silence. And then, and this has happened so many times before, they always want to drop off this little note. Yeah, well, I tell you what, one thing I always try to do, I never try to push my religion on other people. I just let them talk. I just let him talk. Say what? That's fine, because guess what? I don't force mine on people either. I just put God's word out. And it's left up to you and me whether or not we digest it. As the old saying goes, you can lead a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink. I can't force anybody to accept what this says. You can walk out of here today and say, you know what? I don't accept what he says. That does not change the truth. Y'all realize that? No matter what I think, no matter what somebody else says, it's just like this. Just because a building, and I've seen religious institutions have the house of truth on it, that doesn't make it the truth. Just because I say it's the truth, or somebody else says it's the truth, that doesn't make it the truth. But guess what? On the other hand, just because someone disagrees with what someone says is the truth, does not make it not the truth. If it's coming from God, it's the truth, because God can't lie. It's just not even in God's nature to lie. That's the one thing about God, and that's why I like to stick to his word, because that way I can rest at night knowing that if God said it, everything is all right. Madea can say it. I love Madea. And I'm not talking about Madea on the screen. My grandmother, I called my grandmother Madea way before Tyler Perry came out with his. There were a lot of Madeas. Granddaddy, Big Papa, Pawpaw, Mawmaw, and all of that. Anybody, whatever you want to call them. We all love our parents and grandparents, but just because they said it doesn't make it right. Now, if they said it based upon what God said, then it's all right. So, the church is the pillar and ground of the truth because it distinguishes between truth and error. In 1 John 4:6, we are of God. I want everybody to say that. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The people of God, and Jesus once said, he said, my sheep know my voice. His sheep will listen to him. A person can get loud, they can get mad, they can scream, they can pitch all kinds of fits. But the bottom line is, if it did not come properly from here, and let me say that too. Well, because just because they quoted the scripture, and that's preachers in the church and those outside of the church, just because you quote the scripture does not make you right. You better be rightly dividing the word of truth. So, we are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us.
People who are not of God doesn't want to hear the truth. They don't want it. They do not want to hear the truth. They don't care about the truth. And really, really, we need to do a complete study, really, of all of 1 John, but even right here in chapter 4, how it deals with how people deal with the truth. So, what is the truth? Because we hear folks always talking about the truth. Well, I got the truth. And people always want to just say, well, the truth is Jesus. Jesus is the truth. We've already proven that. But the truth is more than that. And what we're going to look at before we close are these things that cover the whole spectrum of what the truth is. And then we're going to close. What is the truth? First of all, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Before you know anything else, before you know the church, you need to know Jesus. I think too many times people have been so indoctrinated about the church, teaching people about a no-headed man. Now that sounds silly, doesn't it? But so many times people have talked so much about the body to baptize people and bring them into the body of Christ that they come in and they're thinking, well, I'm in the right church, but you know what? They don't know anything about Jesus. They don't know anything about him. You have to know the head before the body. So you have to know the Lord Jesus. Then, knowing how to receive salvation from him, know who he is, know what he is about, and know how to be saved by him. Then, knowing how to live for him. Once you're saved, God did not save us just to look pretty in an auditorium. God saved us for a purpose. He saved us that we might labor for him. Now we are not, now mind you, we are not working for our salvation, but we are working because of our salvation. Then, knowing how to properly worship before him. Because not only do I work for him, but I worship him, and I worship him, how? In spirit and in truth. If I take away any one of these, if I don't know Jesus, then I won't know how to be saved. If I don't know Jesus, I won't know how to live. If I don't know Jesus, I won't know how to properly worship him. So I have to know him first, but if I take any one of these out, I am subject to fall into error. Then, knowing how to die in him. Revelation 2 and 10 says, be thou faithful unto death, and he will give a crown of life. Are you in the truth, and is the truth in you? Now, this should fit with everybody in here. If you are not in the Lord's church, and I'm going to say it just like this, there is one church that preaches all the truth. Now, listen, and now I'm going to say something that's going to be a big surprise to some people. There are churches that have the sign Church of Christ on them that don't preach all the truth. Okay? There are churches, so you cannot assume that because it says the Church of Christ that it is preaching all the truth, that it is preaching the whole counsel of God. But how do we even know all the truth? Well, those things that I just covered, if you know Jesus, if you know how to be saved according to Scripture, if you know how to live for him according to Scripture, if you know how to worship him
according to Scripture. And if you know how to be faithful and die in Him according to Scripture, you know all the truth. Now, if the church that you may be affiliated with does not necessarily cover some of those, if it is even missing one, then there are problems. So what do we need to do? We need to be searching the Scripture. We need to be asking questions. We need to make sure that we are working out our own soul salvation with fear and trembling. And I believe there are a lot of people that are not scared enough of God. And it's not a thing of God wanting you to be always in a corner trembling and running from Him. But let me put it like this. Some folk are not scared of the consequences because you don't want to believe them, because just like we spoke about earlier, you ain't hearing it. We need to be studying the Word of God. If you're not studying the Word of God on a regular basis and taking it in, let me put it like this. How many of us eat every day? Is there anybody in here that doesn't eat every day? Okay, we make sure that our physical bellies are full. But now, let's talk about how many of us study the Word of God every day. You don't have to raise your hand. How many of us eat spiritually every day? How many of us are able to pray and go to God every day and meditate on our spiritual our condition? Okay, I see one hand over there. Now, we need to give God even more attention than we give our physical bodies. Even when Jesus was teaching, He said, you got to love the Lord thy God first, and then love your neighbor as yourself. You love God first, then you have to love yourself in order to love your neighbor. But you have to love God more than yourself. So sometimes you have to put that biscuit aside and pick up the Bible. Sometimes you have to put the TV remote down, get in your car, and ride out to Bible class so you can grow and learn something. Because you're not going to necessarily grow and develop well enough on your own, even though you might think you can. That's just like taking a child and said, okay, I'm leaving you to eat and to prepare your own meals and whatever. Just imagine telling that to a 2-3-year-old. Cap'n Crunch all day long. Honey buns, Little Debbie's, some pizza. You have to grow and be developed by those who are able to help you to grow into the Word of God. Now, we're about to close, but here is my encouragement to you. The church is what it is. There's no doubt about it. I dare any preacher, I dare anybody to come and even attempt to prove any of this wrong. I'll be glad to let him stand up and say this is wrong because of this, 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 and this. I want them to be able to prove it, but I can really promise you, I'm 199.9% positive. Oh, just make it 200% positive. That nobody will be able to refute this. The Word of God is truth. The church was built by the truth. The church is to be upholding the truth, standing on the truth, and never wavering in the truth. And if that is the case, then people ought to be running to the truth. There are things
that go on in other churches. And you know what? Let me just tell you this, and we will close. I just want you to think of this. I'm going to tell you some things that are wrong, so that if maybe you are not a part of the body of Christ, according to this, you can go back and question this. Number one, certain things that are wrong. We worship on the first day of the week. That's the Lord's Day. Okay, just like the disciples did in Acts 20 and 7. All right, other things. We worship the Lord without the accompaniment of mechanical music. Okay, mechanical instruments of music. Okay, the scriptures teach that we are to sing and not to, and singing and making melody in our hearts to God and not add mechanical music. Our leadership, whether it is preaching, elders, or whatever, are led by men, because God never put a woman in the pulpit. It's not that women are not capable to preach. They have just the same capability to talk and speak and everything just like a man, and could possibly put together some really good sermons. But that's not their role. God did not give them that role in the church. And you will not find one woman that ever preached in the church. And even if God meant for it to be, don't you think that there would be at least one woman apostle? Wouldn't you have thought that on the day of Pentecost, at least one woman would have been up preaching? Why is it that even in the qualifications of those men of leadership, it always says husbands of one wife? So these are just some of the things that are error at other churches. Let me tell you something else. We teach this, and I want to share with you this. In order to be saved, faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11 and 6. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. If you hear the word of God and you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died on the cross of Calvary and that he was buried but he rose again, that is your first step to being saved. But you're not saved yet. Some people will just say, all you got to do is believe. That's not it. Just because one scripture will use a term, read it all. Read the whole text and then go and compare to other texts as far as salvation. You will go through scripture. You will always find that people ended up following the same pattern. Don't just say, well, why does this scripture just say that? Well, if that's the case, you know what? If I took a sack of gold medal flour and said that this is a cake, would you believe me? No. You know that you can't make a cake without the flour, but it takes more than the cake to make the flour, or more than the flour to make the cake. So, belief is the first step. Repentance. Jesus once said, he said, except you repent, you will all likewise perish. On the day of Pentecost, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins. Repentance is the changing of your mindset, that you are now going to follow God and not your own way. You are dropping whatever you are doing. You're dropping the way that you're living, and you are now focusing only on following the way, the truth, and the life, Christ. And so you have now repented, and you've given up your mind of error. Then confess him. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. Matthew 10:32. And then be buried in the watery grave of baptism. And when you are baptized, and let me explain this to you. There are some people that have been baptized that they think that because they're baptized, that's all that they had to do. God would have never allowed a person to be baptized
into Christ only for them to live out their lives in error. So just because I was baptized somewhere else, my baptism ought to be good. That's not a valid baptism. Let me tell you. Look at it this way. If you open up the Sunday paper want ad and said McDonald's is hiring, so the next morning you get up and you drive down to Burger King, fill out the application, and Burger King hires you. When payday comes around, do you go to McDonald's for your check? Doesn't make any sense, does it? Because you have to follow it properly. You have to follow, even if the instructions are similar, you are still not at the right place. In the church, even if the instructions are similar, you're still not at the right place because you're not going to receive the reward for your labor unless you're in the right place. So you need to be baptized into Christ through the Lord's church so that you can be positioned and taught and led in the right way. One day I hope that the world would see this, which I know it won't. There will be people that are going to always fight the truth. They're going to always deny the truth. They're going to always reject it. But you know what? We're going to always preach it. Because I, and I hope you the same way, would rather be at odds with the world than to be at odds with God. Let us stand. If you are here today, and you know that you need to be baptized into Christ, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you're ready to live for him and change your way of life, and you want to repent and do that which is according to his will, if you are willing to confess his name right here before everybody, and you are ready to go down in this water, you need to start coming forward because God has been waiting on you for a mighty long time. And now it's the time for your salvation. It is what it is. Let us sing. And wash away my sins, not but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Singing, oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow, and no other found I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. All my heart is nothing but the blood of Jesus. All my cleansing is my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, is there anyone else? Is that flow that makes me white as snow? No other found I know, nothing but the blood.